Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our integration week, to our second integration week, to completely wrap up the yin yang chao mo meridians. And then we're heading into the chung mo. I might have left the best for last in a certain manner of speaking, although we could argue that about all of them. I just happen to have a few favorites. And as we tuck in for today's work, I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for the session. And as we begin, by perhaps means of breathing, every inhale an opportunity to call in and receive. To drink in life and an inspiration alike. To have a fresh new start with every new inhale. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking a moment to savor it and to drink in this little moment of nourishment. Then I'm going to invite you to scan for even more of that nourishment, either looking externally or internally. Moving your gaze, your attention around in a way that you get to look in maybe crevices and cracks and crannies and nooks that you don't often let yourself look at. And letting that gaze, that attention, land anywhere in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And as your attention lands there, you drink it all in. Noticing what it is you like the most about wherever your attention is, wherever that outer or inner gaze lands. What is it that's really enjoyable, what's really pleasant, or maybe even just neutral here? And as you take time to drink that in, as you notice it, the invitation now is also to mindfully now savor that with each breath. And as you savor that, drinking it in is the nourishment that it very well may be, and enjoying it much like you might a fine meal. Yeah, that was just Charlie getting settled. You'll see him up there now. Yeah, good boy. And as we receive this nourishment, drinking it mindfully in breath by breath, noticing what happens inside your body, no matter where your gaze is, outward or inward, just noticing what happens inside of your body as you pause to notice what seems to be beautiful and enjoyable, what's working well, what's pleasant. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for bringing all of you. And thank you to all that's gone into that, all of those that have come before you, your families, your ancestors, your lineage. And thank you to the villages of support that surround us all. And as we take time to notice that all and drink that all in mindfully, savoring any part of that also that might feel really beautiful for you too. Thank you to all the sweetness and all the synchronicity that has to take place for us to gather here in this one precious moment in time. Truly a miraculous thing if we let our minds think about all that's gone into creating this one moment. And my deepest of thank you to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded of the lands that have allowed us to create this moment, to create all the moments that have come before and all those that are to follow. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace. And as you're settling on in this way, I invite you, if you haven't already, to take a moment to notice your breath one more time. And as you mindfully breathe, settling the body, making any little micro adjustments that it might be calling for, and getting really comfy and cozy. Yeah, you're most welcome. And as we begin today, I had a very interesting array of requests. And I'm curious to see how this will unfold. I'm intrigued. So as I settle in as well, I'm going to invite you to take your attention to the soles of your feet. And as your attention goes here, no matter if you're sitting or lying or potentially even standing, getting really curious about what it might be like to feel the outside edges of those feet. This is where that bladder meridian runs. And as you feel the outside edges of the feet, also taking your attention to the big toe on the inside of the foot and seeing what it might be like as you place a little bit of attention on the outsides of your feet to also notice your big toe. And in a way, the outsides of the feet are a little bit more energized. It gives the big toe room to, in essence, unwind some fascia or some tissue. And all the muscles that go into the big toe, helping them to settle and land. We're actually just unwinding some connective tissue and fascia through this region of musculature that goes to the big toe, and as well as for the nerves that innervate it, because they're surrounded by connective tissue as well. And as we unwind that all, we're working with the concept of helping you to, quote unquote, have a footing in your own life. To have a footing in your own life. The yin and the yang Chow Mo meridians begin in the heels. They're referred to as the heel meridians. As we pay attention to our feet, and overall, this is where all the energy arises that, well, feeds into our entire body, but first our legs and our hips, where these meridians have a pretty powerful influence. The question becomes, how easily can I be in my feet? How easily can I be embodied in my feet? And how aware of my feet am I? You might want to even just start there. How aware of my feet am I? And after we've spent a little bit of time with our imagination and attention in these ways, I invite you to even just give your toes a little few wiggle woggles. Maybe even letting the feet dance and play and come alive in whatever way feels right. And for the feet, we're actually going to give them permission to two things. One, land, literally land and be here, arrive in presence. And two, after they've landed, giving them permission to take up space, to let that landing really be fruitful. And as it lands in the feet, and the land, the feet get to take up some spaciousness again. We're going to link that all into the moment of birth and the energy of the 12th house coming in to help you literally let go of where you were passaging from and to literally arrive and land fully into what it means to be on the other side of the womb. And as we let you really land here, kidney one point in the middle of the foot, we go here a fair amount, helps us to connect to the earth below, receiving its nourishment. And it also helps us to, in essence, connect to all the things. I'm going to go really big here, broad scale, that the soul has an interest in you playing out as a human being. And this isn't quite as specific to kidney one point. I'm extrapolating from here a little bit. We can think of, in essence, the dance between the elements of fire and earth, lifting us up as forces that go upwards. They rise to whatever you think of as the word spirit. And the downward forces of, I'm going to call it the soul for now, landing us in what it means to be here on earth and landing us into the earth as well as the water elements, if we were looking at life from more of a four element system. So in essence, soul has us merging down into landing here on earth, and spirit might invite us to take up space. And you as a human being get to be that bridging point between it all. Between this dance of the rise and the fall, might be more accessible terms than spirit and soul. Feel free to think of it in that terminology if that suits your worldviews better. And as we dance in these ways and arrive, as we link 12th house of endings, as we arrive here on earth and we land and take up space into the earthiness, into the water, into the land, into what land and water nourish this human being and provide for us in all the ways that they do, physically, along with the energetic and the arena of the intangible, the arena of what might be referred to by some as the mythos. We get to come alive into what it means to be in the story of ourselves, the story of our body minds. And as we land into the story of you, the story of who you are, the sacred narrative of your life, your beingness, and your unique expression of the divine, of the eternal, of spirit, of God, whatever the word may be. How does this unique expression get to come alive and live in through you? And as we work with this in a perhaps the largest, broadest sense of integration, we're going to run hydration to bring in that element of water and joy and to release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And part of what's going within those impurities is the overt fear that has a tendency to make us like reject things with a knee-jerk reaction. The type of fear that we just go, no, and we don't even think about it any further. It's like, nope, that's a no. To the point where we become so autopilot that if we were actually to take a moment to look at what we've been knee-jerk reacting to, there might not actually be anything there that we're reacting to. It might actually be something that we've been pushing away that no longer exists. And yet we're spending a lot of energy attempting to push things away that aren't actually there anymore. So if you let your mind and body just go into that place or take you there, however it feels right, I'm going to pose this question. What is it that you are pushing away that you actually would like a little bit more of? What is it that you're conscious of pushing away? If you like, you can take one hand or two hands, whichever one feels right, or both if that feels better. And even just holding your hands up in a manner of like actively pushing things away, you might even feel some tension in your back, your hips, your legs, your feet might even get involved. And if they're not, you can even notice what's happening in the feet as I push things away. Do I dig into my heels a little bit more? Or do I use my toe mounds to actually invite the energy to shift so that my body comes out of that stop pushing away and more into the invitational moving forward, the go posture, as I call it. And as you notice, what it is you've been pushing away, or that posture of pushing away, however it unfolds in your particular unique expression, I invite you to breathe into it. And as you breathe into what it is you've been pushing away, you might even want to make a little sound. Voo, ah, om. And I'm going to do something that's going to maybe sound a little counterintuitive. I'm going to invite you as you breathe to get more into it, to actually let your body push things away. And as you push things away, allowing for that full expression of vocal, voo, ah, om, or any other sound that feels right to accompany it, and playing it out, and you might actually push and push and push and push until you reach some sort of an ending point. And if you find that point and you're all done with the push, then I'm going to invite you to come back into it again. And if it doesn't feel done, then just staying with that pushing energy and allowing yourself to actually get to push for as long as might feel right in your system, listening to your unique body mind and how it responds. And as we let our body engage and all that it's actually wanted to do to push away, we actually let that impulse continue to run its course. And as that happens, we're actually going to be working with two particular areas, the kidneys and the heart. The kidney for its role in fear, and the heart for its role in wanting to create harmony. And the fear is actually not necessarily a bad thing. The fear might be a good practical thing at times, and other times it might not be serving anymore. It might have outlived its usefulness. And as we push things away, we actually get to allow any final trapped expressions to come to completion. So we can let that go. And as that lets go, we're linking it all into the heart now for harmony, as well as for individuation, or peeling back the layers of who it is you are not, to find your unique expression of you. And as we finalize out that pushing thing, and feel free to do it a couple more times if it's not quite complete for you, we're going to link fourth house to fifth house. Fourth house is the place where we bring together all the ways that we stay safe and protect ourselves and integrating into our external environment. And then the fifth house becomes the center of connection to you in relationship to others, you in relationship to play, you into relationship with what it means to create, you into relationship with every one of those things, from social activity to inner child to, oh, what else does the fifth house go into? To wisdom, to the energy of the sun, the capacity to express your fullest life force potential available. And that's all built upon the foundation underneath, which is again how you've stayed safe and protected yourself to interact with your environment. And it's a interesting thing to notice as we land in the heart. We may also notice that there's layers, and there might be more than one, around also how you've been pushing things away or attempting to stay safe, as if all those ways that we learned in the fourth house become alive and live on through the energy of the heart in the fifth house. And some of those might continue to serve you well to call in more play and pleasure. However, some of them might not be, but they might be entrenched in here for really important survival reasons, really important reasons that were, well, once important, but may no longer quite be as necessary, but the system just hasn't had a bit of an update anymore. So think of this as hitting like the reset button and update on the relationship now between your heart and the thymus gland, which tends to hang on to all those ways that we've, all the information around how we've stayed safe and protected ourselves, is how I'll say that. And as we look at this relationship between the two, there's actually this thin yet powerful little blanket of anxiety between the two. I just hear it going, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. As there's this tension set up between staying safe and protected, and then the heart longing for a deeper connection than might be allowed because of all those ways that it's been trying to stay safe and protect itself and restrict itself from going after what it wanted to. And those ways will be unique to each and every one of you, and we all have different common flavors, of course. The question becomes is what's there for you now, today, to look at? And it might be related to how it is you've been pushing things away. Maybe there's a sense of overt independence. Maybe you actually, it's the other way. Maybe you actually gain a sense of comfort and control around people pleasing, around living outside of yourself. Maybe it's something else. Wherever it takes you is perfect. And whatever those patterns are, we're actually going to address with an ongoing C3. It's going to continue for the next 5 days. And the C3 stands for C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Also working with endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression. Help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. And then we're also working here with the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, and hydration. Taking in that water and joy and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here. And then we're running a D for a defrag, pardon me. And as we run the defrag for the D, we are much like a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Take us out of rock and hard place type of thinking and open us up to possibilities where we may have considered that there were none before. Then integration, introspection. Shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as we settle in with that Sidri here, and it continues for the next 5 days, we're then linking this now into the Yin Chow Mo Meridian. And here, excuse me, looking at how it is you perceive your world, looking at how it is the heart might now have new information to perceive the world, and how that might inform your entire body mind, and in tandem with that Yin Chow Mo Meridian, linking it into all five, six senses. So we can bring in a sense of harmonious vision into the system. And as we connect to harmonious vision, the Yin Chow Mo Meridian has a tendency to work with overthinking, and sometimes it can make us feel like overwhelmed and out of control. So as we balance the Yin Chow Mo Meridian in relationship to all the things that I mentioned here, we actually need to bring in, interestingly enough, some reciprocals, which support, excuse me, physical alignments. We're going to start off with the spine. We haven't been here for a while, I don't think. Balancing the upper spine and the lower spine, working with connecting the topmost vertebrae to the bottommost vertebrae and continuing inwards until they meet in the middle. And we're going to do that in the usual cross patterning, like the top left to the bottom right, top right to the bottom left. And then we're also going to do same-sided. And as we work with the same-sidedness, we're going to bring in the iliopsoas muscle and the SCM muscle. The iliopsoas running between low back and pelvis, helping us to anchor into our low back and our hips and get a little too tight if we find ourselves chronically sitting. And as we release the iliopsoas, it helps to allow for your entire front body to extend. And as it extends, it actually extends through the feminine, through what nourishes you, through the yin, through the, I'm going to take a bit of a leap, the yin chao mo meridian. And that's also going to support the not needing to keep our vision, our gaze hunched forward into all the things that seem to be too scary to face. So as we unwind that, it's also bringing in the consciousness of courage and bravery, along with dignity and respect, elements of the heart. And then, as that opens up, we're going to bring in the SCM muscle. That's the one that turns our head side to side. Fancy name, sternocleidomastoid. And it's got a few areas where it runs. It's got a couple of branches. One goes behind the ears. There's a, excuse me, area that goes into the sternum region and one into the clavicle. And as we work with all of these meeting points of this particular muscle, it's meant to give us a sense of orientation. And in essence, if this muscle could have its way, it would let you know where you are at all points in time. I know where I am, is what its voice might say. Unless it felt like it couldn't figure that out for some reason. And for the SCM muscle, we actually need to run a detox, and we're going to run a detox with the body chemistry. We're detoxing two things. One is heavy metals, and two is any times where you might have had a Western medication or even anesthetic that the system couldn't quite figure out where it was in space anymore. It was just like really, really a lot to that SCM muscle. It was like messing up its capacity to orient, essentially. And as we support this musculature in orienting and coming back to knowing where it is, we're again heading into memories around birth. And we're looking at also running body chemistry for that moment, and as we do so, also supporting detoxing of both things, heavy metals, as well as any Western medications that might have been either in mum's body or in the environment, or potentially, and this is a bit of a reach, for potentially some of our thinking, Dad's body, which is just as influential as mum's body in many regards, energetically speaking. And as we disconnect the toxicity from mom and dad in that way, we also release it through babe, through you. And that also means that that gets to continue to go bidirectionally through the generations. Think of this as handing back any detoxification. Pardon me, any toxicity that's in need of detoxification through the family lines. I don't think I've seen an intergenerational body chemistry before, but here we are. And it's actually going back all the way through mum's side and dad's side alike until it reaches source itself. Until it's complete. And as we release this toxicity, in a way, letting it know it no longer needs to be here, doing its job of what it thought it might have been doing, which is that of protection. It wasn't working so well. And as at this point anymore, it did a great job when it was necessary. And now that it gets to complete its job, much in the same way that we got to complete the cycle of pushing, we're heading into the sinuses. It's safe to breathe this world in. It's safe to breathe this life in, and it's safe to breathe my environment in. We're all coming up here. How does we clean out any clutter from the sinuses? Also running circulation of all the healing resources through here. As it does so, we are optimizing the capacity to connect in a good way to a healthy level of nitrous oxide, which hangs out around the sinus cavities. And nitrous oxide, if you're wondering, is that laughing gas? Yes, in a sense. And it actually can give a sense of lightness when it's in the right balance compared to our O2 or CO2. And in essence, helps us to also access, I'm going to call it lighthearted energy for right now. Because we're prone to lots of sinus things because of our, whatever it may be, environmental lifestyle, family, intergenerational things, constitutional things. The sinuses may carry, in essence, the core of our emotional tone in many regards. And in a way, you can think of it as hanging on to all of the phlegm, which I'm going to take another full of broad leaps today. The understanding of phlegm is a broad brushstroke. Is that it can hang on to mental illness, it can hang on to mental challenges, it can hang on to all the times in which your ancestors before you have struggled in this way and how it might be playing out in your body to be balanced out. So sinuses might sound odd, are actually a really sacred ground to do a lot of this work in. And as we work with the sinuses, perhaps you'll never think of a sinus infection the same way again. I actually get really excited when I get a sinus infection because it means things are clearing out. It's like, hallelujah, let the healing come. And as the phlegm and as that continues to wash away through the family lines, however many generations it went, we don't even need to know that part. We're just clearing it out. It, on the other side of the cleaning out of that phlegm, gets to have some spaciousness. There's actually room, there's space for joy, for you to face life through the lens of lightness, maybe even all the way up to joy, or potentially somewhere in the middle there, a more lightheartedness in general, a sense of pleasure, of playfulness, a willingness to, connect to beauty. To grace, to the gentle softness that can be present no matter what other circumstances seem to be surrounding us. Okay, and as we work with this through the sinuses, we're going to also release an active memory here. And again, I hear that voice of you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. And in essence, we're going to unhook the, I'm going to call it the inner critic that was learned. And we might even call it learned helplessness. You're doing it wrong. Becomes the voice in a way of learned helplessness. And as we release that pattern through here, we're going to also unhook it from governing vessel 20 that hangs out roughly in the center of the crown. And as that releases through here, it's also coming off of, interestingly enough, the tailbone. So from head to base of spine, head to foundation. As that releases through here, I actually see it liberating. Cool. Both of the yin and the yang chao mo meridians to have more spaciousness throughout the legs. Throughout the lower body. And if you're open to it, you can even just give your lower body, your butts, your hips, your legs, your feet, whichever parts of them call to you, a little wiggle woggle, a little shake shimmy, waking these up, letting them know that they're actually independent of any of that other stuff that was seemingly dictating how it is they were relating to their external world, which was just information that was coming in through the ancestral lines, trying to keep you safe and protected by creating a series of mental and emotional challenges. Whew. Might be a fairly big granddaddy of a pattern to look at. And as we evaluate that all and freeing up the yin and the yang Chao Mo meridians, I'm now actually particularly looking at the yang Chao Mo meridian. Kind of feeling just a little bit disconnected, which can lead to a tendency of feeling scattered and even potentially like critical of our own bodies, and even a sense of almost disorientation. So we're going to link this to one of the calf muscles, the soleus. And we're going to work with giving again those feet that same attention that we started with the outside edges and the big toe. And as we do so, helping that soleus muscle is alike with the feet to again connect to that sense of having a landing place and a place to take up space, along the place to again have a footing in life, and seeing that play out through both sides of the feet, and linking that in turn up to the heart. The calf muscles are interestingly all predominantly related to the fire elements, as is the heart. Although the heart muscle, we think in body talk, is mostly subscap, which is deep in the armpit, subscapularis. The other muscles below in the calf are also quite involved through, in general, that of the fire elements. There's a pretty powerful connection here between how it is we move our legs, which is in part informed by those two meridians, yin and yang Chao Mo, as well as up to the heart. And as we connect to this, a sense of feeling scattered or almost like brain fog potentially might be a way to explain that kind of disorientation. We're gonna also run something else for that to support it. We're gonna bring in the planetary energy of. It's actually giving me a couple planets, and then it keeps changing them around. So just hang on, let me let it settle. It's just doing a few little things all to warm things up. And then we're gonna work with Venus and Uranus. Uranus for its capacity to connect to originality in innovative types of ways, and Venus to bring in a sense of harmony, to bring in a sense of grace, and a connection to all things feminine. And what if you got to inject your feminine essence with a novel, innovative change? With an odd, novel, innovative, original, visionary sort of approach. Or put another way, what if you could look at this with fresh eyes? What if your feminine could take in the world from a fresh perspective? What might it want to be present to if it got to create anything that it wanted in its path that it got to have an original vision about? Where does your imagination take that? And as you let yourself go with that, if your imagination keeps playing it out, feel free to stay with it. We're going to link that all now into a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. That yang Chao Mo meridian, now that it feels really grounded and landed and is taking up some space in that body mind and all those other pieces that have come before are doing their thing. These cells, or the smallest unit really is a better way to put that, are ready to repair into their fullest potential of health. And as they do that, linking it into house 12, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, house of surrender to peel back the old layers of who it is you are not so you can step more deeply into your sense of self. And as we support this, stepping into yourself, cellular repair on the yang Chao Mo meridian, helping to release any of the scattered energy that might have been getting in the way of that. I also see it as releasing any quote unquote disgust. For it landing you in the body that you're in, And this is going back to that dance, that rise and that fall, that dance between spirit and soul, between fire and air and earth and water. And as we work with this, releasing whatever layers of judgment around disgust for the body in general happen to be present. And as that flow happens between spirit and soul, that dance between the two, it continues to do its thing. I see the body become less and less of a battleground and more and more a place where it might be valued. It might be welcomed. It might be adored and loved just as it is. I see the energy, the consciousness of acceptance, and there might even be some gratitude, some compassion. As we offer our system compassion, gratitude, and all those other flavors, all those other qualities, notice how it feels to be in your body from this place. What is it to land inside of all of you from here? And what if this body mind was a form of, like a wedding ring from that which is eternal? What is it to be gently placed into this being that you call you? This gift of life that comes from wherever it comes from. And we're linking that all into the eighth house, the house of death and rebirth. Meaning, even while you're alive, you get to continually recreate, be reborn in your own awareness of your own sense of self. And as you do so, it actually creates an opportunity to regenerate. So often those cycles of death and rebirth, that dance of falling and rising, gets judged as if you've done personally something really wrong, when it might actually just be an opportunity to regenerate your system. It might be life's opportunity of saying you can renew, you can have an opportunity to create again in a different way, and you get to do it together with your soul, with your essence of you. You get to do it with spirit, with the essence of that which is greater than you. And the dance between these two gets to continue to call forth what it is you're seeking, what it is that brings you alive, what it is that helps you to live fully through it all. Including being able to access moments of peace and joy and happiness, but not overly necessarily need, have to hang out there. Also, being able to let those go again and enter the very human realm of emotion, of challenge. And as you traverse that journey, then take that wisdom again and again and again back. As we oscillate, much like a pendulum. A dance that continues to call forth new opportunities, new possibilities, new life, new, fresh opportunity, capacity, ways of being in you get to be called alive, get to be created by you. And we're linking that all into house six, house of taking practical action. How is it we can use our sense of imagination here in a way to practically create what might be in service of your body, of your mind, of your health? And we can do that probably the simplest way, although feel free to do it any way that calls to you with your imagination, is to call forth a vision of where you're headed. What are you stepping into? What are you here to take up space to move into? And as we land in that vision for ourselves, linking that imagination into your spine, giving a sense of backbone, but also a sense of protection, also a sense of antenna or communication to clearly land after you tune into what it is you want with your whole being, with your whole body mind, with your whole expression of this body through this spinal antenna. And as you work in this way, we're going to also relax all the musculature around the spine to support it in being able to take in this awareness to the fullest expression possible, which is hard to do if we're really tense. It's like kind of challenging to really eat something when you're super stressed, unless we're emotional overeaters, which is another thing. Or you can think of this as potentially, imagine trying to, I'm going to use the almost opposite example, run a marathon with no fuel. So the relaxation, the noticing of the resourcing that we do at the beginning of all these sessions is present to support your capacity to deeply access whatever's available with that fuel, with that relaxation, or what might be possible with musculature as it's unwinding in a variety of different ways now around the spine, is to free up new resources through the spine. And then I see the spine do, you know how like animals do like the big shake? I'm seeing them do that as if, I'm seeing your spine do that as if it just got out of like a bath. It's like a big shaky dog getting all the water out. And as it lands there, releasing all that it no longer needs to carry, running lymphatic drainage through the spine. We're going to do wave after wave after wave, and we're going to keep it running for the next 5 days alongside of that sea tree to clean out low self-esteem, overthinking, and overanalyzing alike. And I see the waves, interestingly enough, going from top to bottom and then from bottom to top. And sometimes starting the center and releasing both directions out through top and bottom. And as these different waveforms continue to dance and release and unwind and unfurl, we're going to tap this out here. So, invitation to breathe and receive, however feels right. As it unwinds through the upper neck, I'm particularly seeing any elements of hypervigilance that were restricting that SCM muscle from turning side to side, also unwind and release. In essence, saying it's no longer your job to have to look out and watch out. You get to relax now. No longer your job to have to look out and watch out. That old stuff's over. You get to start here anew. Okay. And then if you can imagine the base of the neck, C7 vertebrae, and the thymus gland hanging out just where that sternum and collarbone meet, a little below that. If you can imagine these two areas, if this is C7 in the back body and this is thymus in the front body, as doing this movement, moving away from each other, creating some space. And as it opens up some space here, making space for your thoracic inlet diaphragm to expand and to process. And as it does emotional processing, we're also working on its capacity to be responsive to, in essence, this meeting place between head and body. The neck is often thought to be that go-between space, or it's often thought to be in general connected to the soul, that space between head and body. And as the neck becomes liberated here, as the thoracic inlet diaphragm continues to expand and unwind, we're going to bring in circulation of neutrons, which carry mass but no charge, so they help to release any adhesed tissues. And as it circulates through here, also bringing in hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And as this happens, I actually see the sternum helping the heart to lift up. And I see bladder 1 points in the inner corners of the eye that are quite deeply connected to the yang chao and the yin chao meridian. They help to influence them both. I see those begin almost if you can imagine like they had little buttons. They unbutton and relax the entire bladder meridian, allowing for the muscles on either side of the spine from crown all the way to the base of the pelvis to unwind. And as that continues to unwind, it also helps the bladder 1 points to see the present moment with clarity, as well as helps the yin and the yang chao meridians to do the same. And as we do this, in essence, almost like a global unwinding through the entire body mind, and we've liberated the spine as we've been exploring here. We're actually going to link this all the way back to the spine now for having a clear connection to universal consciousness. It's having a clear connection to your understanding of self as it relates to its location, its orientation, if you will, in the universal consciousness field. In other words, you can also think of that as potentially offering a connection point or a tethering to you and to that which is considered often by many to be greater than us. What is it to be held in community? What is it to be held in the community of the universal? We often think of community as being physical, in-person people, of small groups, maybe bigger neighborhoods and places where you live, have like a sense of community and a bigger grouping in that way. Now I'm going to offer the concept of what if community gets to always be available in this grander sense. In the sense of you are a player in the dance of universal consciousness, always held in its community, always held in connection, never alone. And as we work with that, unhooking the essence of violence from the anterior longitudinal ligament that runs in the front of the spine. And that violence might be traditionally like severe, strong violence that you think of when you hear that word. Murders, abuse, etc. Also, it could be the violence of not tending to our soul, not having a connection to spirit, the violence of not being present to ourselves, around not honoring our true depths of the aches and the tenderness of our feelings. The violence might be played out on a small scale, a big scale, a communal scale, wherever it may be. As we release whatever layers of that violence that are potentially self-imposed, even through the anterior longitudinal ligaments, I see the entire front body begin to slowly open up as the spine relaxes as the anterior longitudinal ligament unwinds. And as it does so, I see it releasing patterns of also the malicious and the vicious coming off of now the thoracic inlet diaphragm. And as those release, I see through both shoulders and the wings of your body, releasing any need to have to fight or contain or defend against that maliciousness or viciousness, which just keeps us a part of it all. I see them letting their guard down to offer, as long as it feels safe and open to do so. Feel free to even imagine that you can do that, letting your guard down, to allow for an openness that might create a different possibility this time. And as we offer the opportunity for that guard to lower to whatever degree it's comfy doing so, the question is, what's here now that the guard is gone? What's here on the other side of all that you've been pushing away? And then linking anything that doesn't need to be here to the energy of the 12th house and what you're calling in on the other side to the first house. And from 12th house to first house, the commonality is the word surrender. This comes by means, not of efforting or doing, but by means of watching the show happen. There's an expression that I'm having a lot of fond thoughts of John as of late, as I look at putting a free fall one back on the schedule for the first time in a long time. And the expression that he associated with free fall two when it was being offered was, "You are not the doer, you are being done." And it speaks deeply to this essence of what I'm speaking to just in this moment. In surrender, if we're in full surrender, we become not the doer, but we become the receiver. And for some of us, that can be a really easeful place to land in. Others might want to push, pull, fight in a way, brace against it in some way, shape, or form. And as we offer this essence, this moment of connection into surrender, the other commonality that comes with 12th and first house and surrender is that of the metal elements, is that of grief. We could, I'm gonna, anyways, not necessarily argue, but I'm gonna put forth a concept that it's our grief energy that hollows us out to let go, to make space, to step into the new. And one of the ways it's said by shamans is to sit by the water. If you call to imagination now, a vast body of water. There's a reason why it's the first image on my website that I may not have even known when I first picked it out, but I certainly come to know over the years, is this vast body of water. Might be the Indian Ocean, like on my website, or it might be even just like a local lake, offers an opportunity to connect us to something bigger than ourselves. It's a really tangible thing to see, and the element of water helps things to process to their very core. And our entire globe is connected by earth, by water, by the elements that the shamans say connect us to our soul in four element theory. So that's a unique thing to consider and sit with, I think. And as we work with these elements in these ways, deepening into our sense of what it means to even have this possible gift of receiving a human body, of getting to be placed in here. Of getting to feel, of getting to even suffer the pain, the joy, the ecstasy, the agonies alike. What does it mean as you contemplate this amongst a deep body of water that connects us to our grief, that connects us to the space where we become hollow, where we can surrender what we no longer need to hang on to? That we can call forth anew. And this becomes an opportunity, a cycle, a dance, that literally has no end. As much as we might want the cycle of that grief to offer an end point, it actually continues to disperse the old to invite in the new, and then the new gets digested and let go of, much like an entire digestive system from mouth to anus flowing yet again and again and again. This is your body's doing. That fractal pattern is mirrored in nature, in a larger, broader sense of our soul, in a larger, broader sense of what it means to emotionally digest and evolve, around what it means to mentally take in information and allow that to roll through, to release it, to then step forth into that next new breath, that next new piece of information, that next new opportunity to grow and learn and come alive again. It's the dance of why we're here to live. I find myself in a poetic place today, perhaps, even more so than usual. Thanks for welcoming my poetic, mystical side when it pops up. And as we work with this, linking it into the consciousness of integration itself, what if we're always held in this dance of integration? There's no shortage of opportunities. 12th to first house, every breath, every meal, every idea, every emotion gets to cycle through again and again and again and again in this rhythm of life. And sometimes it's messy, and sometimes it's oh so magical. And we may dance between those polar opposites of messiness and magic alike. And to live in that space in between as we continue to work through the extremes of the polarities, it might be a better choice of wording here, as we continue to stand in the center of that all. What might it be like to not have to swing to the edges so extreme? What might it be like to actually, amongst that dance, amongst the rhythm, amongst those changes, get to be centered, at rest, at stillness, to the very depths of our core? And as we deepen into our central core, our spine, as we rest in the very core of our nervous system, the waters, if you will, of our being, as it correlates to the nervous system and the water element. What is it to rest in the center of that core while the dance and the cycles of life move and whirl around us, sometimes slowly and sometimes quickly, sometimes painfully, sometimes delightfully, sometimes with challenge and failures, and sometimes with joys and successes? What is it to sit in the middle of all polarities and to thoroughly enjoy the dance of life itself? Because you have a body that lets you do that. You have form that lends itself to do just that. And even as something dies away, potentially even gets lost through violent acts, in the next moment, there's an opportunity for something else to be created, to come alive again. And what if that very cycle is the beauty of God's digestion system? To really go for gold on my bold, vague metaphors. What if that's the beauty of that which is eternal's digestive system? And what if that was never held in a place of judgment, of anything wrong or right, but simply an opportunity to experience, to sense? What if even all that was seemingly heinous and challenging and violent and tragic was also counterbalanced in its own way? And what if it was even more than that? What if it was an opportunity to notice through the pain and the suffering to come alive into the elements of you. And as I work with this pattern of 12th house to first house, in essence, speaking to the human condition of the suffering, and I'm using some pretty extreme examples at times, sometimes smaller ones, because some of you relate to more than others. And I probably need to hear this myself in all of the ways as well, if I'm being fully transparent. And what if, as that happens, we get to see the cycles of all the elements, the four element cycle, the five element cycle, the 12 houses, the seven chakras, the 12 meridians, pick a cycle, there's many of them out there, as just another fractal pattern, one more variation, one more system of understanding life itself. Because that's how the dance is always meant to be played out through eternity. And then we're going to link all of that and whatever that stirred up in you through to your kidneys, through to the adrenals, through to the QL, quadratus lumborum muscles that hang out on those regions of the adrenal kidney complex. And you can think of the adrenals and the kidneys as helping to give the body fuel to its own water element, keeping the water element in the best shape possible. And, well, more so the other way around, the water element keeping the kidneys and the adrenals in the best shape possible is what we often think of it as. But I'm going to actually take up the hierarchical thinking for now, which might be blasphemous in Chinese medicine, but here we go. And as we work with it through switching up our ideologies potentially into a new way of thinking about these things. What if the kidney and the adrenals got to also support the wellness of the bigger things, that of the water element, for instance? What if the wellness, the healthiness of your capacity to be within yourself also served that which is greater than you? What if it was a mutual give and take, a mutual dance here and there? And as we work with it in this more microcosmic way of the kidneys and the adrenals to the water element, we're going to support the kidneys and the adrenals by linking them into, interestingly enough, house number 3. And it's interesting because it actually is the house of the stomach, working with the intellect, the conscious mind, working with our left brain development. And here we're actually supporting running a series of things, including hydration, circulation of all those healing resources that I mentioned earlier, along with the cellular repair through to all things left brain, intellect, stomach, third house, which also works with Mercury, also works with our curiosity. So all of that gets to restore our curiosity, gets to restore our logical logos, mind, to be curious about its counterpart, the mythos, that is that which is beyond the logical, that which might call us forth to feel, that which might land us in the irrational, that which is beyond facts and figure. And as we support this dance here, the same thing is playing out in the kidneys and the adrenals to support, again, their relationship to the water elements. If the kidneys and the adrenals were processing in a logical way, the water element gets to feel easily and clearly, and allowing for things not to get stuck anywhere, but to be flow, to be like water, as it flows through the rivers and the streams, as it moves with at times gusto and at times stillness. And we're linking this all into the very core midline of the front body, the line of trusts, along with conception vessel meridian, what it means to be conceived, what it means to be created. This may be the roadmap of your own creation. And what if you got to call forth into creation? What if you got to actually manifest? Again, touching in on what that feminine vision was that you were connecting to earlier. And what if we got to do that by means of breathing? And as you breathe, opening up the clearest of pathways through the central midline of the body to support that endeavor. And we're tapping this all out here, offering that a round of breath, perhaps two or three rounds of breath. And as you breathe, connecting to what's often called the breath of life, the breath of, again, Creator, Spirit, God, that which is eternal, calling forth with every new breath another cycle to dance in life again. As we breathe here, I'm going to bring things in for a nice soft landing. I have gone over time, and I apologize if that's created any stress for any folks on your end. I do have a short song, and if it calls to you to hang out for the next 2 minutes, there's a song from the album Hollow Bone, and the song is called Oh Love by Ayla Nereo. Nereo. Ayla is Ayla. Last name Nereo. Nereo.
Tearing me apart from the inside out so I can see myself from the inside.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for this sweet journey. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace.